All right, so today in Avodas Yisrael, we're going to take a look at the pieces on this Shabbos, Ha'azinu and Shabbos Shuvah. We'll start with the piece in Ha'azinu. Okay, how does Parshas Ha'azinu begin? What is Parshas Ha'azinu? Such an interesting Parsha. It's a poem. It's a poem. I like the way that that in this little Lubavitch Chayenu, they translate it as the poem of testimony. I like that. And the Parsha begins... The Parsha begins, I'm just going to read you the first pasuk of our Parsha, of the very short 52 psukim of our Parsha. Hazinu ha-shamayim va'ada beira va'sishma ha'aretz imreifi. Hazinu ha-shamayim. Hazinu. Hazinu means, right, ozen. It has something to do with listening or hearing, but it means to listen very carefully. Hazinu means the inner ear. Listen carefully. Shamayim. And I will speak. Moshe is calling upon Shemayim Va'aretz to serve as witnesses to the message he's about to deliver to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe, looks up and says, Hazinu Shemayim, Shemayim, listen in, and I'm about to speak. Adabeira. The Gemara tells us that Dibor is usually Lashon Kasha. Yes, Dov.
Didn't you do that last week too?
Didn't Moshe do that last week? Yeah. Yeah, we keep calling upon the world to stand by and to watch, right? Moshe said, "Haidosi b'chem hayom." Right, that was in Parshas Nitzavim. Very good. And now again, Moshe is calling, "Hazinu Hashemayim v'adabera." So listen up, heavens. I'm about to speak. And again, the Gemara in Makos says that dibor, as opposed to amira, is usually very firm speech. Amira is usually more gentle speech. So Hazinu Hashemayim v'adabera. Listen up, heavens. I'm about to say something chazak. V'sishma ha'aretz imrei fi. And let the earth hear the imrei fi, the utterances of my mouth. Moshe, and then he goes on, and he begins to proclaim the greatness of Hashem's name, and then to sort of rebuke and sort of guide Klal Yisrael. That's what Parshas Ha'azinu is about. The Shira, the beautiful Shira of Ha'azinu. The poem of testimony. Says the Avodas Yisrael, and Chevre, this is a very famous piece of Avodas Yisrael. It's his second piece on Ha'azinu on page Resh Mem Vav. O Yomar, Aleph Yod, O Yomar. Perhaps we could offer another pshat. He had a first pshat, which we didn't do together, where he discusses the question, why by Shemayim does it use Dibor, which is strong language? Why by Aretz does it use Amira, which is more gentle language? Okay, that's a good question. Definitely could die for us to think about. But O Yomar, Ha'azinu Ha'Shemayim Va'Adabera. Chevre, what's the problem with trying to inspire other people? Sometimes it's hard to get through to them. Sometimes it's hard to reach a person. But the reason that we struggle to reach a person when we try to inspire those around us, or when we even try to allow ourselves to be the recipients of someone else inspiring us, is that sometimes our body gets in the way. Our neshama always wants to hear what Hashem has to say. As Rebbe Tzenheni Machlis once said to her husband when he was having a very difficult Friday night with a certain individual at their Shabbos table who was giving him trouble, she said to him, don't speak to his body, speak to his neshama. So explains our Rebbe, the Holy Kashitzer Magid. Ki atzadik asher rotze lahachzir es b'nei doro lemuto. When a tzadik, and again, we're all tzadikim, v'ameh chulam tzadikim. But when a tzadik wants to bring people back, the people of his generation, he wants to bring them back to the proper path. Umedaber aleihem divrei musar, and he's trying to speak words of musar, tamid, constantly. He's trying to give over messages, and it doesn't seem to be going. Ach dvarav ein nichnasim belibam, and the words are not penetrating their hearts. Ki libam leiv even machmas rov averos sha'asum, because their heart has become stone-like from all the averos that they do. V'nischabru chas v'shalom baklipa rachmana litzlan. And they've attached themselves to the forces of negativity, God forbid, to the point that they're not open. You could say the sweetest Dvar Torah. You could offer the most inspiring, meaningful word, and no one wants to hear it. It's not making a roshem. This person is closed off. So how do you get through to such a person? We just give up on such a yid. We say this person's never going to be chozer b'tshuva. Or when we ourselves become hardened in that way, and we feel like we become, critical or cynical about Torah, about mitzvahs, about learning, about growing. So how do we have that breakthrough? What is the tzaddik to do? Eitza ha-ye'utza al yedei she'adaber musar el shoresh nishmasam. The advice, says the Kajetzer Magid, is to speak to the neshama. Speak to the person's neshama. Asher ein la klipa achiza sham. On the level of neshama, at the core of a person, it always wants to hear. It always wants to do what's right. The Rambam, very famously, in the second parak of Hilchos Gerushin, the laws of divorce, the Rambam discusses the very painful situation, which the Mishnayos and the Gemara discuss as well, of a person who refuses to give his wife a get. Imagine a husband who says, I'm not giving my wife a get. Now, it's been determined by the Beis Din that it doesn't make any sense for them to be married anymore. Their plan is to live apart. And now this husband, for whatever reason, in some cruel way, is using his halak authority to give his wife a divorce document for leverage. Maybe they're still in court over custody of the children. Maybe he's using it for monetary advantages. But it's clear that he's using it in some type of corrupted way, some type of dishonest way. So we have halacha. We have a halacha based on Mishnayos, based on the Gemara, that if a husband refuses to give his wife a get, the Beis Din can force him to give his wife a get. And when I say force, it means even using physical force, brute force. Kofin osoach yomer rotzani. We beat him up until he's willing to give his wife a get. Now, what's so amazing is that the Rambam describes at the end of the second parak of Hilchos Gerushin, it's very famous words of the Rambam, we know that a get, for a divorce document to be legit, it has to be given willingly. So imagine, this fellow doesn't want to give his wife a get. Beis Din sends a couple of messengers to his door. They knock on the door. Yeah. He opens the door. They push their way in. And they say, we're here from Beis Din. And we heard, they say to the guy, he said, we heard you want to give your wife a get. So he says, no, the opposite. It's not true at all. I'm not giving that woman a get. So they say, well, we heard you want to give your wife a get. So he says, no, I don't want to give my wife a get. So now they grab him and they start beating him up. And they say, well, that's funny because we heard that you wanted to give your wife a get. And Kofin also, they beat him up until finally he says two magic words. What are the magic words? Rotze ani. I want to give the get. I want to give the get. Kofin also, in the language of Chazal, Kofin also, we beat him up until he says two magic words. Rotze ani. I want. And once he says, I want, oh, he wants to give a get. The sofer writes the get, he gives the get, and it's done. Says the Rambam, that seems like the biggest joke ever. The halacha is a get has to be given willingly. Why is that called willingly? They beat him up until he uttered the words, Rotsani. So that's called giving a get willingly. And the Rambam, very famously in that passage, I always say, sounds like a Chassidus Rebbe. The Rambam says, because deep down inside, every Jew wants to do the right thing. Deep down inside, this guy wants to follow the halacha. He wants to be a good Jew. He wants to do right by his wife, soon to be ex-wife. Whatever reason, the Yetzer Hara is causing him to use the get in some manipulative fashion. But deep down inside, he doesn't want to be a Rasha. He wants to be a tzaddik. Va'ameich kulam tzaddikim. He wants to be a tzaddik. So says the Rambam, you know what we're doing when we're beating him up? You know what's really happening? Kofin osoach yomer rotzani. We're so to speak, this is what the Rambam said. I'm not like trying to be extra poetic because we're learning Hasidus. This is what the Rambam says. The Rambam says when we beat him up, really we're beating up his Yetzer Hara, and we're allowing what? We're allowing that inner voice that wants to do right to emerge. So when he says, I want, he does really want. Deep down inside, he does really want. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin. I have a Gemara Brachos right here. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, a whole list of tfilos that people would daven when they would finish their Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Alexandri Basar Dematzle, Brachos Yud Zayin Amad Aleph. When Rabbi Alexandri would finish davening, he would say the following tfila: Ribon Ha'olamim, Master of the World, Galoy V'Yadua Lefanecha. It is known before you, Shiritzonenu La'asos Ritzonecha. You know, Hashem, that we want to do your will. That my ratzon is your ratzon. That your ratzon is my ratzon. Umi ma'akev. So, chevra, what gets in the way? How do we ever do averos if deep down inside we want to do what's right? Says the Gemara, su'ur shebe'isa. The leaven in the dough. Chevra, what do you think the leaven in the dough is? The thing that causes the bread to become chametz. The leaven in the dough. The leavening agent, the su'ur. Right? The su'ur shebe'isa. Rashi says, Sa'ur Shabi'isa. Rashi writes, if I can find it, Yetzer Hara Shabilva Veinu Hechmitzeno. The Yetzirah in our hearts causes us to become chametz, v'shibud malchios, and the fact that we're enslaved to non-Jewish law and order. We're not living amongst, we're not self-governing, or at least not fully, right? We're enslaved to galus. So those are the two reasons that we're not serving Hashem properly, because of my Yetzirah, and because I'm living in a non-Jewish society, and I don't feel that I'm able to fully exert myself. But Hashem, we daven, please allow me to be a Jew. Because deep down inside, Ritzoneinu lasos Ritzonecha, that deep down inside, my desire is to do your will. So when that guy, who's being beat up by the Shluchei Beis Din, screams out, Rotzani, I want, we say, oh, he means it. He does want. His neshama does want. His neshama, that part of himself that we call Shamayim, does want. By the way, what's the gematria of neshama? What's the gematria of neshama?
395.
What's the gematria of Hashamayim? 395. Right? Sfasemis points that out. Sfasemis says Hashamayim is gematria. Sfasemis doesn't bring a lot of gematrias. But the Sfasemis says that Hashamayim, he doesn't say it here, I think he says it in Bereishis, that Hashamayim is gematria neshama. So what happens when a person, again, he's trying to speak to someone. The tzaddik is trying to inspire the generation. But the generation, their hearts, their minds are numb. And they're not willing to be makabel. So what are you supposed to do? How do you break through to such a person? Says the Avodas Yisrael, speak el shoresh ha-neshamos ha-machuna b'shem shamayim. Speak to the person's neshama. Speak to the part of the person that is called shamayim. Speak to the inner part of that person, right? The Shoresh HaNeshamos HaMechuna B'Shem Shamayim. Chaver, what day of the calendar year, more than any other day, expresses this idea? Where a Jew shows up and he says, Hashem, I want to be a good Jew. I may not have been a good Jew a minute ago. I may not be a good Jew by tomorrow. But today I want to be a good Jew. What day is that? Of course, it's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Okay, what's the gematria of those two magic words in the Rambam? Rotze ani, I want. I want. Hashem, I want. Right? So much so the Rambam says that when we're forcing him to give a get, it's not called forced. He really wants it. What's the gematria of the words rotze ani? Who knows how to do gematria? Let's see. How much is rotze?
Is it
362? Okay, Rotzeh is 301, very good. And Ani is 61, so it's 362. Okay, good. Says Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, what's the gematria of Yom Kippur? And there's no Yod, because in the Torah, Kippurim is not spelled with a Yod. So what do we have here? We have 56, Yom is 56, Kippur is how much? 306 equals 362. So, Chevra, what's the gematria of Yom Kippur? Rotze ani, I want. Says Rav Moshe Wolfson, because that's the day. That's the day where every Jew says, Rotze ani. That's what I'm screaming, Yom Kippur. I mean, I have a whole big machzor to get through. But in two words, what am I saying the whole Yom Kippur? Rotze ani, I want to be a Jew. I want to be close to you, Hashem. I don't want to listen to my Yetzirah anymore. Kofen osoach yom rotze ani. We beat up the Yetzirah. We take away the pleasures of this world in Yom Kippur, so the real me can emerge. So that's the advice to the tzaddik. The advice to the tzaddik when he's trying to get through to someone, speak to the neshama. Speak to the part of that person that's called shamayim. Again, ha-shamayim gematria neshama. Dehainu al-shorash neshama samachuna b'shem shamayim. U'memela, and when you do that, you know what happens automatically? Tishma ha-aretz imrei fi. Hainu ha-adam agashmi. When you speak to the neshama, then all of a sudden the aretz, which part of us is the aretz, chevra? The earth. Adam Yisodo me afar v'sofo la'afar. We come from the dirt. So then the body, which is called Aretz, will also, the Adam Hagashmi, the person, the physical person, will start to respond as well. My body will actually start to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just point out that it's interesting. I told you, Dibor is Lashon Kasha, and Amira is Lashon Raka. So I think you could say the same thing here, right? When you speak to someone's neshama, you could say dibur, you could say strong, because the neshama can handle it. When you speak to someone's guf, you have to talk gentle, because the guf is too much to the world of the Yetzirah. The guf's not ready to be makabel so strong. But hazino hashamayim, when you're When you're speaking to the Shemaim of a person, Va'adabeira, you're allowed to say something strong. As long as you're talking to the person's neshama, you're not going to break them. Be so careful how you give mussar to someone, right? How you offer advice or rebuke to someone. But again, as long as you're speaking to the neshama, you're able to say something strong. And he says, this is the pshat in a very mysterious Gemara. V'zeh kavanas, this is the kavana of the Save Devei Asuna. The Gemara in Meseches Bechoros on Daf Ches tells stories about what? About the council of the wise men of Athens. Atuna is Athens. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, who is Stam, Rabbi Yeshua in the Gemara is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Rabbi Yeshua had these very fascinating conversations with the wise men of Athens. They were trying these riddles, these strange, mysterious questions that they were asking him, and he was answering. And they're mamish sodos haTorah, deep secrets of the Torah. The Vilna Gaon writes a lot about them. Rabbi Nachman writes a lot about them. The Tzaddikim wrote a lot to uncover these very strange puzzles, these riddles, these questions that they were asking each other. So one of the questions that the Sabbe de Be'asuna, when they were asking Rabbi Yeshua, when they were debating Rabbi Yeshua, and they were having this back and forth conversation, so they asked him the following question. Right? When the Sabbe de Be'asuna said, Shehema hayu apikorsim, they were a bunch of heretics. These were the wise men of Greece. And they didn't believe what we're describing here, that there could be a neshama that's so pure, that's so perfect. And they asked the following question. Hi Gavra deboy itza. Hi Gavra. What's a Gavra? A person. This man, deboy itza, who desires a woman. In other words, a man is seeking a woman's hand in marriage. So imagine someone comes to a family and says, I would like the privilege of marrying your daughter. Velo yahavilei. And they say, no way. You're a commoner. You're not married. No, our daughter's not going to marry a simpleton like you. So why would he see fit the ozil to go lehecha to where madli minei, where they're on an even higher level? In other words, you ask for a woman's hand in marriage and you're rejected because you're too low on the totem pole. In the hierarchy of chashuv families, you're not chashuv enough to marry into this family. So the great men of Athens, the wise men of Athens, they said, so would that guy now go and seek to marry a woman who's from an even higher, an even loftier strata of society? Right? Look at the words again. They said to Rabbi Yeshua, Hai gavra deboy itzav lo yavilei. If a man seeks a woman's hand in marriage and he's rejected, so ma chazit da azal lehecha de madli minei? Why would he seek a woman who's even higher than her? If he couldn't marry someone who's closer to his class ranking, so how could he even imagine he's going to marry a princess? How could he imagine such a thing? What were the elders of Athens saying? They were rejecting what our Rebbe, the Kashrus Rav Magid, is teaching us today. If you speak to a person's body and the body won't receive, so the neshama, which is loftier, certainly won't receive. But that logic is backwards. That's totally backwards. What did he say? V'hainu, shemedaber el shorash nismaso. Right? They were saying, how do you think you're going to get a shidduch by the neshama? He tried to talk to the person guf to guf, human to human. And that didn't work. So now you're going to talk to what? To this abstract part of him called the neshama. That lofty part of him. And they said back, you're looking at it totally backwards. Your Yeshua said back to them, well, here's what he did. Vahu shakal sikhsa. Rabbi Yeshua took a sikhsa. Sikhsa is a peg. He took a peg. Dotza latata lo al. He tried to stick it into the bottom part of the wall and it didn't go. Lo al. It didn't go up. It didn't go in. Then what did he do? Dotza le'ila. He then took that peg and jabbed it into the top part of the wall. Al. And it went in. And it went in. Right? He stuck it, tried to stick it to the bottom part of the building. Right? Apparently hit concrete, couldn't get it through. He stuck it into the top, which was just drywall, plaster, whatever, and it went in. So he said, oh, look, sometimes when you don't have success down below, you can have success up above. V'hera lehem b'zeh. And what he was revealing to them, what he was hinting to them, of course, is, she'letata lo hayamakum lemeyal, yan ki gavrua klipos. Sometimes, no, dafka, that which is seemingly the most accessible because it's close to you, it's low down, it's within reach. Yeah, but because it's low down, it's been impacted, it's been affected, it's been poisoned by the klipa, by the negativity. But if you aim high, if you speak to the neshama, Yesh makom lichnos va'al. There's a way to get in, and it goes in. V'havein ma'od, and understand this very, very well. It's so important in how we talk to others. It's so important how we allow ourselves to be impacted by people who speak to us, to allow the words to penetrate our hearts. I want to read to you, I want to learn together a piece from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moharan, Kuf Pei Dalet. Okay, I'm going to read it in English just for the sake of time. It's a short Torah, but I'm just going to read it to you in English. I have here the BRI edition of Likutei Moharan, one of the many, many volumes. Okay, so this is lesson 184 in Likutei Moharan. When a person speaks with his friend about the fear of God, a direct light and a reflected light are created. When you speak to someone, I'm trying to share a word of Torah with you, or you're sharing a word of Torah with me. Right? So there's a light that's shining forth from me, right, to you, and then there's a light that's reflecting back from you to me. As we learn the Kajitzer Magid is directly shining his light upon us, and we're bouncing some of that light back towards the Kajitzer Magid. It's a very deep concept, the concept of an Or Yasher and an Or Chozer, an emerging light, a direct light, and a reflected light. It's the sun and the moon. It's a lot of things. Occasionally, the reflected light precedes the direct light. What does that mean? How could the light bounce back before it goes out? This happens when the recipient has a weak intellect and is unable to receive his friend's words. Meaning sometimes someone shares with you a deep idea and you're not able to grasp it. So in terms of receiving the direct light, nothing happened. But you're already bouncing back towards the one who spoke. What does that mean? Listen carefully. For then before his friend receives from him, which is an aspect of Or Yashar, direct light, the speaker already receives from his friend. In such a case, the reflected light precedes the direct light. For when a person speaks with his friend about the fear of God, Yirat Shamayim, even if his friend does not receive from him, the speaker nevertheless receives inspiration from his friend. That means it's never not worth it to share a word of Torah with someone else. Right? Imagine, you know, you have a younger sibling who's less inspired than you, or an older sibling who's less inspired than you, or you have a cousin, or you have a roommate who's less inspired than you. You have someone you went to yeshiva with who slipped away a little bit from their commitment to Torah. And you share a Dvar Torah, you share a thought with them, an inspiring idea, and they kind of shrug it off. And you say, you know what, why do I waste my time? Why do I even bother trying? You should know that not only will you impact that person in a subtle way, whether you realize it or not, but you yourself will become greater from it. The light will bounce back to you. When you speak to someone else, even if he doesn't receive, says Rabbi Nachman, the speaker receives inspiration bouncing back. That's what we've called that Or Chozer. He says, Rabbi Nachman says, it's like a person bouncing a ball off a wall. It is like someone who throws an object that hits a wall, the object bounces back to him. It is the same when he speaks to his friend. If his friend puts up a wall, you know what happens? You're trying to penetrate his soft heart. And he has a lave even, so it hits a rock. And what happens? It bounces back to you. He himself can nevertheless be inspired by the words as a result of the impact. The words went out towards his friend, they hit his friend, struck his friend, and they bounced back to him. Therefore, had he not spoken these words to himself, it is quite possible that he would not have been inspired by them at all. In other words, you didn't fully absorb the idea until you tried to share it with someone else. And now that you tried to share it with someone else, and you feel like, why did I waste my time? It didn't go anywhere. The words didn't penetrate. You should realize the words bounce back to you. But again, what we're learning here in the Avodas Yisrael is that when you speak to someone's neshama, you're able to break through. Hazinu Hashemayim va'adabera, and then the whole person, v'sishma ha'aretz imrefi. Okay? That's the teaching we're going to look at in Parshas Hazinu. Now we go to Shabbos Shuvah. Chevra, this Shabbos is Shabbos Shuvah, and Shabbos Shuvah is one of the most special Shabbosos of the year. The Ohev Yisrael, the Apter Rav, he writes in his Likutim, he says, Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol because it's the big Shabbos. What makes it a big Shabbos? He says, Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah are the two biggest Shabbosos of the year. And he says, they are the Roshim L'chol Shabbosos Hashanah. The two Shabbosos that have the greatest impact on the year, says the Apter Rav, are Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah. The way the Chassam Sofer explained it, Shabbos HaGadol, which is around Pesach, right before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos where we warn ourselves summer is coming, and the summer is a time when we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. when there's nice weather and we're outside, you know, people end up getting themselves into trouble. You know what Shabbos Shuvah is? The Chassam Sofer writes in the second volume of his drashos, Shabbos Shuvah is where we say that we're sorry for all the mistakes that we made over the course of the summer. And Chevra, the summer that we just had coming out of many months of very unusual living and still somewhat trapped in it right now, a lot of people found themselves in very unusual situations. And that's true even in terms of the Averos that we did. In our period of loneliness, in our period of quarantine, in our period of feeling disconnected. Okay, so Shabbos Shuvah is a very big Shabbos. We're cleaning up from everything that we did these past number of months in particular. Of course, the whole year, but in particular these past number of months. Shabbos Shuvah, we read a special Haftorah. Chevra, who knows where this Shabbos' Haftorah comes from? Shuvah Yisrael at Hashem Lokecha. Kicha Shalta Bavonecha. Where's it come from? Which prophet said, Shuvah Yisrael at Hashem Lokecha? The Navi Hosea. We also, at the end, we add a couple of psukim from Yoel and a couple of psukim from Micha. But primarily, the Haftorah comes from Hosea. Okay? From Treasar, from Hosea. So Chevra says, our Rebbe, the Kajetzer Magid, what does it mean, Shuvah Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha? Return, my fellow Jews. Shuvah Yisrael, come back, Klal Yisrael. Ad Hashem Elokecha. Look what he writes. It's beautiful. Perish. Shitzarech lashuv ad shiyeh Hashem hu habore Elokecha. Elokus shalcha. Chevra, you know how close you need to be to Hashem? A person needs to be chozer b'tshuva until Hashem is Elokecha. Hashem, he says, is the Borei. Hashem is the term that we use for God. Right? Creator of the entire universe. Responsible for every star in the heavens. Responsible for nearly 8 billion people on planet Earth. Responsible for every ant, for every blade of grass, for every everything. That Borei, that creator, Hashem, has to be what? I have to do tshuva in such a way that I believe that Hashem is Elokecha in the singular. Anochi Hashem Elokecha at Har Sinai. It was in the singular. Because every Jew has to feel how close he is on a personal, ba'ofen ishi, on a personal level, to be connected to Hashem. That Hashem, the creator of everything, is Elokecha, Elokus Shelcha. That He's your God. He's your God. That you feel, yes, my friend doesn't have greater access to Hashem than I do. I'm as close with Hashem as anyone is, as anyone can be. This, by the way, with Shimon Schwab, in his sefer on Tefillah, he brings a beautiful pshat. He brings an unbelievable pshat. He says, in the words of Adon Olam, what are we saying in Adon Olam? It's a Tefillah we have to think about during these days. Adon Olam, Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Right? Rav Shimon Schwab writes, he says that, he says in the name of Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, I believe, he says, we talk about how great Hashem is, Adon Olam, Master of the Universe. Asher Malach, you were the Melech, B'terem kol yitzir nivra. Before the world was even created, you were the King. Right? And we talk about how great you are, and how awesome you are, and how lofty you are, and how dominant you are. And then we say two unbelievable words. After describing the grandeur of Hashem, what do we say in two words? V'hu keli. And He is my God. Who's your God? Who's your God? Your God is some statue that you bow down to? No, no, no. The God that I just described. The God who's responsible for everything. The creator of the heavens and the earth and everything within it. Who's so big and seems to be so busy and so important. You would think He doesn't have time for little old me. But after building up how great Hashem is, then we say, Vahu Keli, He's my God. He's my God. You have to be able to say that. To say it to yourself, each one of you have to say it to yourself. Who Keli? He's my Hashem. He belongs to me on a personal level. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Until Hashem, the Creator, is Elokecha. Emphasis on the Cha, the Chaf Sofit. He's yours. Elokus Shelcha. Perish Shetehe Kisei Ermerkavar L'Kedushaso. That HaKadosh Baruch whose throne is me. I am the chariot that Hashem drives around on. V'tucha l'dabek bo, u'l'daber l'fanav tfilos v'sachanunim, kasher yadaber ish el re'ehu. Beautiful. To be able to talk to Hashem, to cling to Hashem, and to talk to Hashem in a way that's as real as when I talk to my friend. When we're davening, we often feel like it's not a conversation. There's no one really there. Right? We wish someone would talk back to us. We wish there was more of a dialogue between us and Hashem. And we get very frustrated. We feel like Hashem's not really listening. I just mentioned Rav Shimon Schwab. There's a very painful story I heard from one of my rebbeim. Rav Schwab, before he was the Rav in Washington Heights, he was a rabbi in Baltimore. A rabbi in Baltimore for many years. So Rav Schwab was walking down the street one Sunday. Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was walking down the street. And he passes a church. And he sees, coming out of the church, who does he see? He sees the president of his shul's wife. Can you imagine? The wife of the president of the shul is coming out of a church on a Sunday. He looks the other way. He runs down the street. Doesn't want her to see her. He doesn't want her to feel embarrassed. But he's got to figure out what's going on here. So he reaches out to her and he says, you know, I was wondering if you could find the chance to schmooze a little bit, to talk. Okay, so she comes to Rav Schwab. She comes to visit Rav Schwab. And they sit down. Rav Schwab, you know, starts asking her, how are things? How's everything at home? How's your marriage? How's your life? No, how's your ruchnius? How you doing? Everything's good. Rabbi, thank you so much. That's so nice of you just to check in on me. That's very sweet of you. And he says, you know, I have to, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I have to tell you, I was walking down the street the other week, and I saw you walking out of a church on a Sunday morning. So she says, oh, Rabbi, don't worry about it. No, oh, I'm so sorry. No, don't worry. I'm a proud Jew. Don't worry. It's just in the church, they have this one thing that is just, I think it's... So he says, what is it? So she says, they have this, like, this booth. You sit in this booth with the priest, and you're able to confess to all of your sins. And I just find it's so cathartic, that confessional experience, to confess to everything I did. I find that to be so uplifting. So Schwab says, well, we also have confession, you know? We say Tachlon every day after Shmoneh Esrei. And she looks at him, and without blinking, she says straight back to him, she's like, no, but Rabbi, but there's actually someone listening. When you sit in the booth and you talk to the priest, there's actually someone listening. Have you realized how sad that is? That this Jewish woman thought that she needs to go to a church because she wants to be able, kasher yadaber isha re'eyu, to talk to someone on the other line, on the other side of the phone, so to speak. Says the Kashitzer Magid, we have to develop that relationship with Hashem, that the tefillos and the tachnunim that we daven are kasher yadaber ish el re'ehu, like we're talking to our dearest friend. L'mashal, kasher tomar baruch atah Hashem. When we say, for example, when we say baruch atah, you, Hashem, you wouldn't say you if you met President Trump. You would say Mr. President. You wouldn't say you, right? You wouldn't say to Rav Herschel Schechter, Shlita, right, Lahavdil from Trump. You wouldn't say you to a Chashev Rosh Yeshiva. You would say, does Rebbe, does the Rav, does Rav Schechter, what does Rav Schechter say about this, right? You wouldn't say you, what do you say about this? It's disrespectful. And yet to Hashem, you're so comfortable, you're so close that Kasher Yadaber Ishal Re'eyu, you say, you, Baruch Ata Hashem, you, Yiyeh Be'einecha Ki'ilu Ata Omid Lefanav Mamish, B'lishua Masach U'machshava Zara Muvdeles Chas V'Shalom. To be able to stand before Hashem, and to really be Lifnei Hashem. What is the essence of Yom Kippur? Lifnei Hashem Titaru. I just thought of a new pshat. Maybe you know what Lifnei Hashem is, Titaru. What's the pshat? Lifnei Hashem. Right? What word do we say Lifnei Hashem the most? Ata, Baruch Ata Hashem. So Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, means the word before Hashem. So this word is the essence of Yom Kippur, Ata. To be able to feel that on Yom Kippur, I am so close with Hashem. Right? Ata. The word Lifnei Hashem. And if I really understand the word Lifnei Hashem, Titaru. That's the secret of Yom Kippur. Lifnei Hashem, Titaru. When I feel that Ata, when I feel that I can say you to Hashem because I feel the closeness, that I'm able to talk to Hashem without any mesach u'machshava zara. There's nothing in between. Chaver, there's no mask. There's no more masks. No machshava zara. My mind is not out the door. Muvdelis chas Hashem. That's separating me, God forbid, from Hashem. Vizeo perish imru elav kol tisa avon. Imru elav kol tisa avon. What does that mean, imru elav kol tisa avon? Kishetizcha leimor elav. When you're able... To what? To talk to Hashem, a love. When you talk straight to Hashem, imru a love. When you really develop a language of connectivity to Hashem, that you're speaking to Hashem, not at Hashem. You're not just shooting words up into the sky, but you actually feel that when you're davening, you're talking to Hashem. Hainu lefanav kanizkaleel, az simen kinasa avoncha v'tov lecha. That then that is a sign that your sins have been lifted and things will be good for you. And that's how we feel on Yom Kippur. We really feel that we're lifnei Hashem. We're standing in the presence of Hashem. Ki kol menias hatfilah v'machshavos zaros heim ba me'avonoseichem asher heim avdilim. Because all of the blockage in tefillah are from the machshavos zaros, from all of the various thoughts that are what? That come from our averos. As the Navi says, your averos make mavdilim. Your averos make walls. Your averos create blockage between you and Hashem. Lachein besur ha'avon mimchat yakarv la'Hashem lomar lafanav divrei tefillos shiros v'sishbachos. So therefore, as we're doing tshuva and we're tearing down those walls, where do we end up when it's all said and done? We're standing lifnei Hashem. And again, that's Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, all the way up until you're standing next to Hashem and you feel comfortable referring to Hashem as what? As Elokecha. But the Rebbe's not done yet. He says a couple more lines. He says, it's a longer piece. We're just going to do one more paragraph. Says our Rebbe, let's go one step further. Umisayim akasuv, what's the end of the pasuk? Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta ba'avonecha, ki chashalta ba'avonecha. Chashalta means to stumble, right? Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Because you stumbled in your iniquity. What does it mean you stumbled in your iniquity? Usually when you trip, you don't feel like it's your fault. No, I mean, you could always watch where you're walking a little more carefully. But, you know, if you trip, you tripped. It was an accident. Romez aletzaris. Look how the Rebbe is malamed tzchosanas. It refers to all of the tzaris, the things that trip us up, all the difficulty that we experience in life that causes us to stumble. Vizman achurban, and the fact that from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, shaz kulanu kishikurim umishugaim mikoved achurban vatzaros uredifus miyom el yom. He says we are all drunk, we have lost our mind from what? Look at the next word, COVID. It doesn't say COVID-19; it just says COVID. From the COVID achurban vatzaros varedifus. Right, from the weightiness, COVID means the weightiness of the Chorban, all of the suffering. Chever, we've got a long track record of pogroms and Holocaust and anti-Semitism and suffering. Uredifus miyom al yom. And he says, to such a degree that the Navi says, Ad shenechshav lifnei habori baruchu, kol avonos beis Yisrael, all of our averos, even the ones that seem to be a little bit premeditated, a little bit intentional, Ki'ilu asu shoygigim. It's as if we did it by accident. Think about the words again. Ki, what? Chashalta ba'avonecha. Does that make sense? Chashalta means you tripped. It was an accident. Avon means mazed. You did it on purpose. So what do you mean, chashalta ba'avonecha? Was it an accident or was it on purpose? And the answer is, while the Navi's calling us, come back to Hashem. Shuvi Yisrael at Hashem lokecha. Come back. Return to Hashem. But realize that Hashem, even though you've done a lot of averos, you've been far from Hashem for a long time, in Hashem's eyes, it's kashalta. Even your mazed is like shogeg. Hashem sees it as stumbling because you've had a long run. It's been a difficult and long gullus. As the Zohar Kadosh explains, Ayin Shem. V'zechi chashalta ba'avonecha, kishalon l'shon shogeg. Kishalon, stumbling, is accidental. V'amr ha'navi l'ramiz lehem la'avas ha'tshuva. The Navi is hinting to us how great and how beloved is tshuva. Afilu dekaimalan ki atshuva meyira mahapechas hazadonos l'shkagos. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yoma that if you do tshuva out of fear, it turns an intentional avera into a accidental avera. But says the Kashas Ramagid, beautiful mikol makom. But nowadays, keivan she'al yedei hatzaros. What an amazing limud zchus. Says the Kashas Ramagid, nowadays in Galus, you never did an avera b'mezid. Now, chaver, don't take this the wrong way. Don't be reckless with this. I'm giving you a, you know, the Rebbe's giving us a big gift over here, right? And I'm revealing it to you, and I want you to take it in your back pocket, but be careful how you use it. Right? Oh yeah, I never did anything intentional. All my averas are accidents. Hashem will be the one to decide that, okay? Don't give yourself too much leeway to do averos. But if the starting point of every avera that you ever did is only shogeg, because of the suffering of galus, if Hashem already starts off your most intentional averos as shogeg, so then be kol makom. Kevin shal yedei atzaros b'lav hachi nechshu azedonos kishkagos. Since from the exile, your averos are already starting off as accidental. Memela, therefore, when you do tshuva, kisheshav u'mischaret aleim lifnei aborei barachu, when you do tshuva and you come back to Hashem, hu berov chasadav b'havcham zechuyos, Hashem turns the averos into mitzvos. V'reach nichoach l'Hashem, v'yizke lios kisei ir merkava l'Hashem. And then you become a throne, a chariot for Hashem. So in other words, the Gemara says, if you do tshuva out of yira, out of awe, so then what you did on purpose becomes accidental. If you do tshuva out of love, then your averos become mitzvos. But the Kashas Ramagid says, nowadays, all our averos become mitzvos. Why? Because we don't do averos on purpose. And if we do, Hashem already bounces them down one level to accidental because of the difficulty of 2,000 years of galus. So therefore, when you do tshuva, even if it's low-level tshuva, every tshuva that you do, since it's already starting off as accidental sins, the tshuva that you do immediately what? Transforms your averos into mitzvos. And that's ki chashalta ba'avonecha. That's what the Navi is revealing to us. When we read the Haftorah, the Shabbos, think about it. It's a contradiction in terms. How do you stumble over something you did on purpose? But the answer is, no. You're stumbling like a drunk. We're drunk from 2,000 years of galus. And therefore, even when we did avonecha, when we did averos on purpose, Hashem says, you tripped. It was an accident. And now you do tshuva, and you turn that aver into a mitzvah. Okay? So, chevra, two beautiful, beautiful Torahs. We should be zocha, shuva Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha, to come back to Hashem all the way, to the point you could say Elokecha, that you could say Baruch Ata Hashem, like a person speaking to his dear friend. I'll just end. He writes by Pesach Sheni. You don't have it on the screen in front of you. If you have the Sefer, you can look it up in his writings on Pesach Sheni, which appears right after his writings on the Haggadah and Pesach, which is right before Parsha Shmini. But very famously over there, he talks about this idea as well, that a Jew has to try, Rav Moshe Weinberger quotes this line all the time, that you have to try to reach a level that when you're communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if you're talking, Kasher Yadabar Isha Re'eh, you're talking straight to Hashem. That you're not far, that when you say, that Yochol Lomar Baruch Ata, Kasher Yadabar Isha Re'eh upon him. That when you say you to Hashem, you really mean it. So, Chevra, let's try to do that this Yom Kippur, this Shabbos Shuva. Let's try to stand right next to Hashem in Shul. Not Hashem, I'm not calling out to Hashem somewhere in the Shemaim, but to stand right next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to talk to Hashem like we speak to our dearest friend. Okay?